Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's time for another edition of Grinders Live. We call this one College Football After Dark. You can figure it out. It's dark outside, and we're talking college football. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what we're doing on this show here today. I'm Dan Bach. Of course, we've got David Kaplan. We like to refer to him as Chop, which, of course, is short for the head chopper. If you're wondering the ancient origins of that name, well, do some Googling on that. We're not going to go through that, but long time ago, Mr. Kaplan had some fun with his son, and there you go. We'll just leave it at that. He was the head chopper. But we are talking college football here. We look at the early slate on the Saturday games, and obviously, you know, I don't know about you, Chop, but these games are starting to fill a little bit better. You know, the first few weeks, we saw massive overlay with college games, but it seems like it's starting to pick up steam. I don't know if sites are doing a little bit better job in terms of the size of the tournaments, but not as much overlay as we saw, which I think is good in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I noticed that last week is filling. I'll tell you what's happening. Here's what's happening. Honestly, you get that middle of the week at the beginning of the college football season, and nobody wants to tie up their funds because there's a lot of baseball going on. You can't tie up your funds. Now we're to a point where baseball does not really exist anymore unless you want to play a two-game slate. So people are a lot more able to go ahead and wrap up some money in college football early, and thus it's filling up early. So that's good. It should be good until basketball, and then hopefully it carries over through basketball a little bit. But, you know, it's starting to pick up a little bit. I like the way it fills up on Saturday mornings nice and early now. Maybe we can even get some bigger pools, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I know this Thursday slate's all sold out pretty early on FanDuel. Looked like most everything sold out on DraftKings. And, again, we've got live final qualifiers. We're supposedly good at this, Chop, but we've yet to queue. At least I didn't queue last week. Did you?
Last week? No, I did not.
Have you?
No, actually, last week wasn't even that good, man. I didn't have a great week last week for sure.
You didn't have Baylor? Come on.
I mean, everybody seemed like they had just the right Baylor and Texas Tech, and I had some good ones, but I'll tell you where I missed out. Before you tell me where you blew it, I blew it big time. I looked into all the tournaments, and about 35% was Mike Warren, and I had zero Mike Warren. I just didn't believe it, and that was just crushing right there. So that put me behind the eight ball and everything and tournaments, and that's what I was playing mostly last week.
Yeah, I did pretty well with Mike Warren over there on DraftKings. Good week on DraftKings. Aces, I was on it. You know, my two favorite play – like, last week was a blown opportunity, and I think if you go back and watch that show, you'd kind of agree in the sense of – we thought Russell was probably the overall number one play, and we thought Ezekiel Elliott was the overall number two play. And we were right. Those two guys went absolutely ham, and neither of – I mean, Russell was kind of high-owned, but not ridiculously owned, and Elliott was relatively low. I just missed on Jakeen Grant, you know, Texas Tech. I just didn't have the wide receivers on that, and it felt like a lost opportunity. But the one spot where I did have Russell and Elliott and hit on a lot of value plays like Michael Rector on Stanford was Fantasy Aces last week. And I finished, I think, 14th, 20 points behind. And, oh, by the way, I had Vernon Adams as one of my two quarterbacks over there. So, yeah, that was a missed opportunity, man.
Man, that is rough.
Yeah, that's rough. So what are you going to do? That was putting together last-second lineups and not doing enough research on that. But we're here to talk about this weekend's games. And over on DraftKings, in terms of their tournaments, we thank them for sponsoring Grinders Live in this show. They've got a couple things going. They got their World Championship queues, a $20 and a $300. That's a 1,500 entry and a 102-person entry. And then I see something here, a WCFWC Mega Qualifier Satellite. The value of these tickets appear to be $5,300. So there's going to be some sort of Mega Qualifier happening at some time, Chop. And for $5,300, you probably – that's a high value of a ticket for sure. So if you get into that field, you got a pretty good shot at getting to Miami.
Yeah, sounds all fine and well in theory.
In theory. But we obviously have lots of other tournaments out there. FanDuel Playboy Championship, Aces at 535Q this week. So it's a quick outlook of what's happened in the tournaments. Let's go to the Vegas odds for this week. And, you know, we're going to look at early slate. That's kind of what we do on this show. Just too many games to go early and late. Good old EMAC and SDL Cardinals will help you there. But the early slate chop, you know, in terms of the games with the highest totals, there's a few that certainly stand out. FanDuel and DraftKings, 15 and 17 games respectively. Kind of like it. I think DraftKings threw in a couple of the Mid-American and AAC teams, which I kind of like. There's definitely opportunity. And one of those games is Middle Tennessee State and Western Kentucky. That one's sitting at a 69-point spread and a pretty close line at only 8.5 there. So that one into the upper 60s. Next up, obviously, Baylor and Kansas. This one's interesting. This game, you've got a total of 78 points, and you've got Baylor favored by 44. I think Baylor can put up whatever number they want here. We've seen Art Briles leave his starters pretty deep into the game. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to like them, but it's always kind of scary when they're that big a favorites, Chop. Quickly, what do you think about Baylor this week? How are you playing that situation?
Probably a fade situation for me. I'm not. I mean, that's a big. I mean, that Kansas is really bad. I mean, if Iowa State can pound them, that game should be over with by halftime. I think Briles is more apt to keep those guys in earlier in the year, you know, when they're just getting warmed up and he's treating it almost like a preseason. Now we're kind of in the conference thing. He had a, you know, fairly big game last week, and looking up on the schedule, I think they got a nice easy one next week, but then another tough grind after that. So maybe he takes it easy on his guys. There's some guys that I don't want to play. But don't get me wrong, there might be a couple sleepers in there we'll get into later.
I mean, 60 points is the projected total for them. 60. That's almost double the, I don't want to say the next highest, because TCU's at 36. I guess they're in the late slate. But that's a big number. That's a really big number. So lots of touchdowns to be had in that game. The one that's not so sneaky, at least after this show, that a lot of people need to be paying attention to is Massachusetts Bowling Green. That's actually got the highest one this week at 78 points and a pretty close spread. You've got, what, 45 is the home projected score for Bowling Green in this game. And I got to give credit to DraftKings here. They definitely boosted up the prices of players in this game. Same can't be said for FanDuel. I think this is going to be a really, really, really popular game over on that site because there's a lot of soft salaries. I think in general, their site is a little bit softer, which I don't hate. I don't mind it. I think it's actually kind of nice balance. But I think when you have a game that's almost an 80 and you've got really good players, you know, underpriced, it's going to be heavy overlap, I think, in that game. Texas Tech and Iowa State, did you learn your lesson last week? This one's at 74 points and a 12.5-point favorite there for Texas Tech. Your outlook on this one, I mean, Pat Mahomes, a lot. I couldn't believe he was 2% owned last week. I was shocked. I could not believe. I know he was a little banged up, but did they really believe he wasn't going to play? That was dumb to me. I don't know how people missed that one. But I'm the guy who picked Vernon Adams, so what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech, yeah, they look – the only thing I question about them is coming off two straight games now of where they really got to be deflated. And maybe they just pound these guys, and I get it. But we're also got to check that injury report because they've got a couple guys in the receiving core that are out. That's going to be one of those hairy things, you know, Lauderdale, Sadler. You just got to be careful with that, so keep your eye open. Maybe if there's some value that opens up with some of the other lower tiered guys in that receiving core. And, you know, they're good as far as Iowa State. Yikes, man. That's tough because if you're rostering Warren this week, you almost feel like you're chasing points and you deserve what you get when you get like a 6-point game out of him. Who knows? So I don't know how I'm going to play that, but you know, Texas Tech.
I told you him. I gave you him last week, Chop. I specifically at the end of the show asked you about that.
Apparently, 35% of the people listen. Well, here it's also when you do your research, you got to be careful because that kind of a game just totally That went off my radar because it was the only game on DraftKings that wasn't on FanDuel.
Yes.
So if you're starting your research with FanDuel, you totally skip over that, which is what I do a lot. Yep. This week, you know, it's the reverse. There's two games. Well, it's the same. There's two games on DraftKings that aren't on FanDuel. So if you're starting your research on FanDuel and just singling out players, you're going to miss over some of those guys. You just got to be careful with that. And that's really
– it's a good point.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, very good point. Let's see some other early games, totals that stand out. Oklahoma and Texas, that is over 60. Oregon State and Arizona, also over 60. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the early slate for our high total games. The crappers of the week, where you might want to stay away from, Northwestern and Michigan. Ooh, a Big Ten game, big shocker. That one is sitting at 35. We've got, let's see, anything else under 40 in the early? Not looking too much. I don't think Boston College Wake is anywhere. It shouldn't be. That's an awful game. Illinois and Iowa at 44. Minnesota, Purdue at 46. So, yeah, not a lot going there in the Big Ten. There's no line on this because we're still waiting on the status of Jordan Howard for Indiana. But what do you think, if you were the odds maker, what would you put Indiana and Penn State at?
Okay.
Tough one.
The game is at Penn State, Indiana and Penn State. I would say at Penn State, Indiana. I mean, not knowing the injury situation right now, and it probably makes a difference. I'd probably put Penn State as a favored by 4 or 5 points. I mean, just roughly.
Total?
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got a – Indiana's – it's a battle of two, you know, good versus evil. A good offense and a bad defense, and then a – bad offense and a good defense. I'd say 51. Just,
you know, you're right close to me. I was going to say about 51 to 54, and I'd probably go about a field goal on Penn State as a favorite in this one. So we'll see. We'll see if we're any good at this. That would be our predictions. I'm not seeing anything up for that game yet. All right, well, let's move into the analysis here, Chop, and we'll get moving with the quarterback spot. And this is interesting here this week. You know, obviously the two sites, a lot different pricing. We'll try and do our best to kind of go through both. Over on FanDuel this week, you look in the high end, you've got Seth Russell at 98. You've got Matt Johnson at 93. And then you've got Keenan Reynolds at 89, Baker Mayfield at 89, Deshaun Watson at 88. So a lot of guys there. I guess the top two are Russell and Johnson in terms of salary being over 9K. I know you said you're fading Baylor, and I get it. I'm not, you know, saying you should not fade them, but if you're playing multiple lineups, you got to at least throw one or two Russells in there just based on, you know, this guy played, they were up like 30 points into that fourth quarter and he was still playing last week versus Texas Tech. So I think I'm a little bit more sold on him, and you can certainly make it work with soft salaries over on FanDuel. So Russell or Johnson? Johnson's more competitive. I think Russell's obviously team's going to score more points. Who do you like better?
I'm taking Matt Johnson over Russell this week. I just think there's a different mindset when you enter a game against Texas Tech in, you know, in the big stadium there in Dallas or what have you, as opposed to Kansas. Like, that's such a letdown, and that's such a – we know we're going to beat this team really bad. And I think the coaches are already planning out, mapping out where guys are going to come out of this game. I mean – they're not going to tell you that they're taking anybody lightly, but I just feel like there's a mindset that's different in a game like this. Matt Johnson's sitting there, and it looks like it could at least be competitive, and that's all you need for this guy because he's going to wing it around also, and Massachusetts isn't a good defense. So, yeah, with those two guys, I'm taking Matt Johnson just because of the competitive nature of that game.
Yeah, he's only got two touchdowns the last 2 weeks, and he had 10 touchdowns the 2 weeks prior to that, and that's through the air. So he scored 23 and 24 fantasy points with not having multiple touchdowns. He's going to have multiple touchdowns this week. I don't hate Matt Johnson either. I think both are fine plays. Again, that's what makes college football fun, is there's just so many ways you can build it, and I think multiple lineups is something you really want to do, even in cash games. I don't have a problem doing that. But both these guys – superior plays. On the next level, though, with those the Reynolds, Mayfield, Watson, Dobbs, Mahomes, where are we looking here? I think that Reynolds, you'd agree, is a really fun guy to play in DFS, but not when he's playing Notre Dame. You know, you love him when you can get him matched up against Army, or you love him when you can get him matched up against Middle Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, but I don't think I want a piece of them versus Notre Dame.
No, that's not typically where I want to put my money in on is, you know, a guy who strictly runs the ball against Notre Dame, whom is going to probably, you know, it's not like they never play Navy. They play them every year. They see this stuff all the time. Yeah, I don't want to mess around with a guy like that. In fact, I'm looking at other guys in that. I mean, clearly Mahomes in that price range is the solid guy right there. But I think there's a couple guys that maybe the price drifted down a little bit. Deshaun Watson and Josh Dobbs. Watson has the better matchup. Dobbs has a tougher matchup. But like I same mindset as a couple weeks ago when he played Florida. It's a tough game, and it's a kind of game that's going to make him run. And that's what I like about Dobbs is when he runs. I don't want him to sit back and relax and just pass it and hand it off. I want him to run, and I think Georgia's going to force him to run. So I'm not hating on Dobbs or Watson.
Yeah, I think I give the edge to Watson. I had him in my locks this week. Dobbs, he's got no receivers. He's got nothing to throw to. Hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in the last two games. You're right, he's got the running ability, but I also think the defense can game plan for that. They don't need to double team wide receivers who are no good. So you look at Watson on the other hand. This guy was a Heisman contender coming into the season, and he really hasn't put up gaudy numbers, and he hasn't really had to. I mean, Appalachian State and Louisville the first couple weeks, and then last week against Notre Dame, they ended up getting the win, but that was the weather. Just you can kind of throw out the stats in that one, and he wasn't terrible with 26 fantasy points, but I think this guy has major upside this week, and if you need to save, I'm definitely going to be getting some exposure to him. I think him and Artavis Scott, that is a combination that I'm willing to roll out. I think that's his top target here. And I think he, you know, we saw him have some just ridiculous fantasy days last year, Chop. And I think that could be coming here. I'm not going to call a 40 burger, but it wouldn't shock me to have a 40 burger from Watson this week.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. It's the kind of game that he should thrive in. You know, he's like you, everything you said is right. The weather last week was terrible, terrible matchup. This is just one of those things where he's kind of laying in the weeds, and yeah, I think he has a good week this week. And that's, you know, those three guys right there. But I tell you what, if you're asking me which one I'm going to take in that tier, it's going to be Mahomes though. So I'll put Mahomes slightly above him. I mean, we're looking at a 43 point team total there against Iowa State. So I like them all, man. There's so much good value right there in those ranges right there. It's so, and there's another guy even cheaper than that I'm sure we'll get into here in a minute.
Yeah, let's move down to the 7K range here on FanDuel in particular. You've got Cardale Jones, who's just been a massive disappointment this year. I don't think we can play him. Maybe he'll go off one of these games, but I don't see it. There's no one to pair him with, and it's just a dangerous situation. And then you've got Kaiser at Notre Dame at 7,800, a good matchup, but I don't know if they're going to really lean too heavily on him. And then guys like Grayson Lambert, Sam Richardson at 73. I mean, Justin Thomas could be sneaky only because, I mean, that game has actually got a way closer spread than I kind of expected. I think it's at like 8 points here today, I believe, in that matchup. And you've got Clemson at home, and you're talking about, you know, not a 2-touchdown favorite like I kind of expected. A 7-point spread, 1 touchdown. I would have expected Clemson to be a bigger favorite than that. So if you want sneaky middle tier that nobody's going to be on, I'm going to give you Justin Thomas in that range. But anybody in 7Ks, because we can go down to 6K on FanDuel here in a minute, and we're going to love one guy. But anybody in the 7K range.
I mean, you mentioned Cardale Jones. And definitely, you know, not in love with him and definitely not playing him on FanDuel. But, boy, they're making you sweat him on DraftKings at only 6,900. Anytime you get a decent quarterback under 7K over there, you got to look hard. So,
yeah,
Cardale may be in play over there. Definitely not at 7,900 on DraftKings or on FanDuel. So, in the 7K range, well, gosh darn it, man. I'll tell you what. I'll give you one name in the 7K range if you're forcing me to. And this is really hairy. But it's Sam Richardson from Iowa State.
Hey, it's Sam B. Richardson. Get it.
Yeah, right. Because there is another Sam Richardson that they may – honestly, if you roster the wrong one, you're screwed. So, yeah, the other one don't get zero. He gets 0 points every game. But, you know, he typically goes out and disappoints. I'm not going to lie, because I've rostered him plenty of times. But he has these spurts, like three-game spurts, where you look at his game log and see 20-plus fantasy points. He's got some talent. He's got Alan Lazard as a receiver. Actually, he's got a couple good receivers. Montgomery and Jawan Wesley, I think it is now. So he's got some targets. It's Texas Tech. They're a terrible defense. It's not only a 32-point team total, but they're underdogs, so you got to assume they're going to be passing a pretty good portion in the second half. There's a lot of things to like about his peripheral stats there, but he's a disaster waiting to happen, so you roster him at your own risk. But for 7,300, he's not a terrible play in that range.
All right, let's move down to the 6K guys, and all I have to say, I'm on your boy Blake this week.
Hey, man, I looked, that's the first salary that jumped off to me at quarterbacks was 6,900 for a starting quarterback whose offense throws the ball a lot, facing a terrible defense. Everything's setting up well for Fropinaful.
Exactly. Okay? Fropinaful.
Everything's setting up well for him.
But here's the dilemma, because actually this is kind of fun because you kind of hedge yourself a little bit. Love him on FanDuel. I think he'll probably be the most popular quarterback on the week. I think I'm probably going to have more exposure of him than anybody. But on DraftKings, you got him at 7,500. Does that sway you at all? I think we obviously like him more on DraftKings, but is 7,500 a good enough number to pay on DraftKings?
This is one of those things that we talk about every week. You know, you don't have to hedge yourself on FanDuel by making six different lineups. You can do it. Yeah, I mean, well, that's like you want all kinds of exposure to guys in tournaments. I get it. But I'm saying, like, you don't have to force that. If you like certain guys, you can play them and then just slightly change them up. The way you can really hedge yourself is by playing the salaries against each other on each side. And in this case, you probably won't see me with one Fropinaful roster on DraftKings because – geez, for 500 more, I could play Mayfield or Watson. It just sets up. I mean, for even cheaper than him, I can go down and get Josh Dobbs if I wanted to, or get this one. I knew Solomon's going to play this week, and he's only 7,100. Huh?
He's no good.
Oh, he was good last year. Now, he's gotten rocked this year by injuries, but they're expected to score 35 on Oregon State.
Yeah, that's a risky play, I think.
Yeah, but 7,100, you know, that's a guy. Let's think about Solomon and typically where he's been on DraftKings over the last year. You're in the eight range. Sometimes you've even creeped up into the high eights. So you're just getting a discounted price on him. But anyway, the point is, you know, you got Mayfield and Watson sitting pretty close to him. It's just one of those things where I don't have to be all in on a guy, and I think I'll definitely be playing him on FanDuel, but probably won't have any exposure to him on DraftKings. That's Fropinaful, that is.
Thank you so much. You couldn't have pronounced that name better. Let's move on to the cheap guys, the crappers, as we kind of like to call them. And the ultimate crapper is Christian Hackenberg against Indiana. 6,300 over there on FanDuel, on DraftKings. I believe he is at 50. Is he at the 50s or is he in the 60s? 60 or 59 over there on DraftKings. Is this the four touchdown game from Hackenberg? I think it might be.
He's gonna do it once or twice in the year, so this may be it. I mean, it's a great matchup, but then we've said that before about this guy. This guy's just terribly addicting, and I don't know why. He's got these good matchups every once in a while, and we've seen flashes like one or two or three games in his career where it's been great. I saw a comment on Twitter the other day, and it made perfect sense. I think it was Empire Maker that said it. He said Hackenberg is a fraud, that the only – like all his success came when he had Allen Robinson and none came since then. And it makes sense. Like I started thinking about it. Hey, you're right. You know, Allen Robinson, now he's gone and this guy stinks. But it's Indiana. Now there's one of two ways because they're going to score points on Indiana, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
But – The only caveat here is that they also like to run the ball, and you could very well be looking at the end of the game and they could have four offensive touchdowns and three of them came on the ground. And he's left with his little sad line of 200 yards and one passing touchdown. And then you messed up because you're passing up on some real good talent. So that's viewer discretion advised on that one. I mean,
I mean, it's got shootout potential here. He always has a handful of those games. He had a 3-touchdown game against San Diego State the other day. I'll be really curious to see where Vegas sets this number. You know, we put it at like mid to low 50s. If somehow that would creep to the upper 50s, like 59 or God forbid 60, then I think I'm in on him. I think I can't imagine it's over 60, but it is Indiana. But if it would come in at that number, I think that would sway me a lot here in terms of rostering him because, you know, remember last year's bowl game? What was it? Rutgers, I think. 5 touchdowns, I think that was in that bowl game. So he'll show it from time to time. I think on FanDuel, you don't need to bother doing it. Salaries are so light there, and I don't think that there's enough super high-end receivers and running backs that you need to get where you need to punt your quarterback spot. But on DraftKings, when you've got 2 spots, or if you're playing on Fantasy Aces or maybe Fantasy Feud, where you've got 3 quarterbacks to roster, you could take a shot on him potentially over there. And he might get it done. I think he's interesting this week for sure for that reason. Any other crappers? I had to throw him out there.
Let me see here. Let me go to DraftKings because, yeah, like you said, FanDuel is really
– You don't need to be for it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking up and down. Hackenberg at 5,900 is he looks like – I tell you what, oh, man, they're making one, and this guy's really terrible too. But they're making you really think hard about one guy who's got a lot of upside. Jared Hurd, I mean, and I'm not a fan of his, but we know he's explosive on the ground. They're giving him to you at 5,500. That's like rock bottom price for.
Yeah, that is. I didn't realize he was that cheap. Wow.
But that's another one. I'll definitely say this, that's a GPP only. You don't want that guy in your cash lineups. Get him in a GPP lineup for that kind of price and hope he goes for 100 yards rushing and gets that bonus for you and you'll be in good shape. And he's got the potential to do that. He always does. So,
I mean, he's got a whole 17 completions the last 2 weeks combined. Yeah,
he's not a passer, man, and they don't have receivers, but he's a heck of a runner. So
yeah,
if Oklahoma gets up and they back off a little bit and give him a lot of lanes to run in, he could very well reach 100 yards rushing. That's what he does best. So,
when was the last time that there was a guy who scored 52 fantasy points in a game? 3 games ago, not like, you know, 2 years ago. 3 games ago, 52 on DraftKings, and he's 5,500. Never seen him before. So
that's what you're doing. You're looking at that discounted price, and that's what's making him appealing.
Yep. He's 900 cheaper than he was that day that he scored 52 points against Cal. At home, Oklahoma, you never know. What rivalry game? What is it? Texas State Fair? What the hell do they call it?
That's interesting because these games can be pretty competitive down there between these two teams. So that's kind of another thing that makes them interesting.
Have you been to the Texas State Fair? You live in Texas.
No, I've never been. And, you know, there's many reasons why, but.
Well, I mean, your wife is a wonderful nutritionist. She would not approve.
Oh, dude,
approve of the Oreos.
Don't need her permission.
And all that.
Don't need her permission to eat some food. You just see what I eat before I come on the show here, man. She just looks and rolls her eyes, but she has no control. I've never ventured up to that neck of the woods because I'm just not a huge fan of Dallas. They're just kind of like the Beverly Hills of Texas. You know, I'm not a big fan of that kind of snobbish attitude. So I stay away from Dallas, but the food, I'd tear that food up, man. They'd have to kick me out of there.
So if that's the Beverly Hills of Texas, what is like Waco?
Oh, man, where did we?
Or Texas Tech. I heard that's the worst place in Texas. What is Lubbock? I heard Lubbock is the worst. There's nothing.
I've never been to Lubbock, but yeah, I mean, I could imagine it's like taking a trip out. If you're in Vegas and you just get in your car and you just drive west until you hit just desert, like. Nothing but desert. Yeah, that's probably because the wind's blowing out there and you see the tumbleweeds. That's pretty much like that's what Lubbock is. And then there's one college in the middle there. So, yeah. Hey, all Texas right. is big, man. You know,
it is.
I can't hit up all of it. I've been around, but not that far.
All right, let's move on to running backs here. And real interesting position here this week because, again, unlike quarterback, where at least on FanDuel, you're paying up on. Running back might be a spot to find some value here. Let's start with Leonard Fournette, $10K on FanDuel and $9,900 on DraftKings. You know, we thought Melvin Gordon was dominant a year ago. This guy's gone for over 200 yards in three consecutive games. He has scored 11 touchdowns so far this season in four games. And, oh, LSU just got so lucky, an extra home game. USC is underwater. USC being South Carolina is underwater. So hopefully those people bail yourself out, you know, get better. Hopefully those storms didn't hurt you too bad. It looks pretty awful. So get better. But LSU gets a home game now against South Carolina. Fournette, what do we do in this situation here? He's a stud, but are we paying up?
I mean, this – wow, this game sets up real good for him. It's tough because you don't – I mean, the salary now is really to where, you know, you're thinking about it now. $10,000 on FanDuel, yeah, that's tough, even with the little, you know, the easy salaries. But I think that the way I see it playing out in my mind is – I think everybody's looking at that salary and thinking it's too much, and we know he's good, but nobody wants to spend that kind of money on him. I think he's making for the perfect, perfect GPP play. If you can get a guy with 40-point upside who is going to be under-owned because he's too expensive, well, you can make a killing. So he's definitely a GPP guy. In my cash game teams, I just – even on FanDuel, I just can't pull the trigger on that kind of price tag. But the game itself sets up well. We've seen him crush these little schools that weren't even supposed to be on the field with LSU. Well, this one's actually supposed to be able to keep up a little bit, but yet doesn't have a good defense. So, yeah, it's setting up real well for Fournette. If he plays four quarters, gets 30 carries against a pretty weak defense, this could be ugly.
Yeah, the biggest problem is you just compare him to other really good running backs like Nick Chubb and Elliott and Proceise. And Linwood in a game, they're going to score a million touchdowns. And it's just like, man, like,
exactly.
It's so hard to do. I mean, I'm looking at DraftKings, and I don't think I can pay the number on DraftKings.
DraftKings is a different beast than FanDuel for sure, because it's still tough over there, even though it's loosened up a little bit since those first few weeks.
Good, but
still tough, though. So I don't mind it. Yeah, it's making – it doesn't make – otherwise Fournette would be an autoplay if it was any cheaper, you know, but – it makes you think, and that's my reasoning behind him being so low-owned. People are going to look at Elliott, Chubb, Proceise, and they're, you know, he's going to be the forgotten man, and he probably shouldn't be, because just on a consistency basis, he's probably as good as all those guys.
They don't have anybody else. I mean,
exactly.
That's it. It's like he's the only guy they have on that offense. Harris is terrible. I think they've got some somewhat talented receivers, but maybe even they're a tad bit overrated, and certainly doesn't help that they've got a quarterback that can't throw. So they just keep on giving him the ball. And believe you me, other teams have stacked the line against LSU, and it doesn't matter. This guy is that good. He's that fast. They've got a good offensive line. So here's my question to you. Does Fournette keep the streak going of 200-yard games with at minimum two touchdowns?
Oh, man. Week that comes up soon in the SEC play where, you know, he disappoints, but I don't think this is it. I'm looking at South Carolina, and the rating I'm looking at Carolina, I think so. I don't think this is the week he gets stopped. There'll be a week that comes up soon in the SEC play where, you know, he disappoints, but I don't think this is it. I'm looking at South Carolina, and the rating I'm looking at is their run defense is in the, like, the bottom, like, 100 in the nation, you know, out of 128 teams. Their run defense is bad. I just don't think this is the week he gets stopped.
So, let's move to the next tier. FanDuel and DraftKings differ a little bit. You got Elliott only 600 less than Fournette on FanDuel, a good bit less on DraftKings. And then we've got Nick Chubb, CJ Proceise, kind of in those mid 8K range over there on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, Proceise a little bit cheaper at 7,500 to Ezekiel Elliott and Nick Chubb at 86 and 85. Elliott, we were on him. We called kind of the breakout game. And I almost think, because they trailed the third quarter, and it wasn't until they just said, screw it, we're giving it to Zeke. And then he just went nuts, you know, 80-yard touchdown after 50-yard touchdown, and just had that monster game that we, you know, kind of pretty much that entire first half into the third quarter. And it wasn't until they just said, screw it, we're giving it to Zeke, and then he just went nuts, you know, 80-yard touchdown after 50-yard touchdown, and just had that monster game that we, you know, kind of projected last week. I don't like this team that they're playing in Maryland. They play slow. Randy Etzel, I think he's going to get fired here really soon. But This game's not really going to flow the way that I think that I want to have too much Elliott exposure. I just, bottom line, think I like Chubb and ProSize better than him. What do you think?
I like the matchups on ProSize and Chubb. Well, Chubb, not a great matchup. Tennessee's not bad. But, I mean, you're right. The whole flow of the game for those other guys should be better. But with that being said, it's pretty clear that you take Elliott and Chubb, especially Elliott and Chubb and Fournette. ProSize is getting there, but I don't think he's in that their category just yet. But you take Fournette, Elliott, and Chubb, and I think you can almost draw a name out of a hat and to pick the guy who's going to have 200 yards and 3-touchdown or 4-touchdown game. They're all that good. So, yeah, the flow may not work for Elliott, but then again, we could be sitting here next week saying, damn, we should have taken Elliott. What a monster game. Because it looks like these past couple of games are actually trying to feed him a little bit. Maryland's pretty terrible. He's got as good of an opportunity as a huge game as the other two is what I'm trying to say, basically. So, but no, he won't be in my lineups for a few reasons, and the price tag. And
I mean that 1,000 on FanDuel from Chubb and ProSize to him. That's a lot. That's or 900.
Not only that, but like you said, if you're gonna spend 94, might as well spend 600 more and get Fournette, and just go cheaper at your tight end or something like that. Which, by the way, we're gonna get into. You can totally punt that thing this week. There's no good ones playing on this slate.
Yeah, so. I know. It's a horrible slate. Horrible. I like ProSize this week a lot. He made my locks this week. And Navy, they're just going to be overmatched, I think, in this game against Notre Dame. But their offense is just good enough usually to keep it close. And I think that ProSize, I mean, the running back last year, I think it was, you know, might have been Falston, rushed for 120 yards. I mean, ProSize is legit. This guy is, I think, a great running back, great vision, big play guy, 9 yards per carry the three games before the last one, which was, you know, kind of throw it out with the weather against Clemson, tougher defense too. I think they just rely on him. I mean, you saw Kaiser make some really bonehead plays potentially in that last game, and I think they're just going to be smart, keep it on the ground, and let ProSize get his 175 yards and 2-3 touchdowns this week. I love ProSize. I think he's a great play.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a very good player. Well, I think that at the end of the game, we'll see that ProSize has 2 touchdowns and Will Fuller has 2 touchdowns. I tell you what, Fuller and ProSize, between the two of them, there's going to be 5 touchdowns scored between those two guys. And it's just a matter of who's going to get that 3rd touchdown or a 4th touchdown. And the only other guy gets one. But both those guys are far too good of athletes for Navy to keep up with. They really, every time this game happens, the Notre Dame athletes are so much better than Navy. Navy fights hard and they compete, man, but they just don't have the athletes to keep up with those kind of studs. And this year it's ProSize and Fuller. So those guys will knife through them pretty well. So, yeah, ProSize is up there. Top 4 guy this week. Just depends on how you want to play it out there with Elliott, Fournette, and Chubb.
Okay, you got Wilson, Linwood, Perine. I don't love those guys. I think I'd rather go up and get, the Chubbs or the ProSizes. And then you got Jalen Hurd, kind of low at 7,200. And last week wasn't particularly great. Got 19 carries, 90 yards, didn't get in the end zone. But, you know, the 5 games prior to that, you know, he had touchdowns and multi-touchdowns in three of his last 4. So, you know, he's a guy who certainly when they get near the goal line, they give him the ball, but doesn't do a whole lot in the passing game. So that kind of takes me off of him a little bit on DraftKings. But I don't mind the 7,200 number on FanDuel. How about that next tier for you? What else? What do you like? I mean, Wilson on DraftKings at 6,400, that interests me just a little bit more. I mean, last week against Stanford, we can usually throw out running back numbers against them. But on FanDuel, not so much at 8, but on DraftKings, Wilson's all right for that price.
Yeah, pretty decent value on DraftKings. When you're looking at FanDuel, it's tough to roster him and not pay the extra 400 for Chubb or ProSize. So, yeah, that's where that stands. As far as like going down below the Jalen Hurd line of sub 7,000, there's a couple guys that are interested. First of all, if we know Jordan Howard is going to play and healthy, he's very interesting because he should be in that 8K range and he's only 6,500. You know, I'm not saying I love the matchup, but if he's healthy, that's a discounted price. And we were debating it last week against Ohio State. So if you're even debating it against Ohio State, you should play him against Penn State if he's healthy. But so he's there. I kind of liken this Wayne Gallman this week. I'm waiting for that big breakout game from him. Taking on Georgia Tech this week, a lot of things set up for that offense. He's been quiet, just like Deshaun Watson this year. I don't know how they're undefeated, because we really haven't heard a whole lot from either one of these guys or Artavis Scott, to be honest with you. And then Mike Williams is hurt, so they've kind of snuck in that conversation there to get that fourth playoff spot. But Gallman or Watson, one of them is going to blow up one of these weeks, and it's going to make somebody a lot of money. And we're looking at some other guys down here that are typically usual suspects, like Justin Jackson, but I'm going to pass on it because it's Michigan. Yeah, Michigan. So passing on that one. And there's another guy down here at 6,300, and he's kind of interesting. It's Travis Green going against UMass. Not a huge fan of Green typically, but it looks like maybe he's reestablishing himself as the lead running back for Bowling Green. And in a 2-touchdown favorite for 6,300, he's one of those guys. He's not going to light your world on fire, but in this offense, 2 touchdowns is not very much to ask for in a game like this if you're willing to take that risk.
Remember him a couple of years ago when he was just like mega stud in the MAC?
He was so good, and I don't know what happened. That's why you –
Well, they started to pass the ball.
And, you know, guys like us who've been around, it's almost a curse.
To know
these guys and what they used to be, and then you keep just waiting for that game to happen again, and sometimes, you know, it costs you money waiting for it, and it just doesn't happen. But he looks like he's getting some carries again. It's a high-profile offense. They're going to score a lot of points. It doesn't take very much to get down inside the 10 and just run a little draw play, and he gets in the end zone. And then you're cursing him because you got Matt Johnson and Roger Lewis, and he just stole one from you. But that's the way he does it, man. 2 touchdowns waiting to happen.
You got some value over here as well. Some other guys to consider at this kind of, you know, mid-six kind of price point here. Mike Warren went nuts last week on – you know, he was available on DraftKings. And he's been good the last 2 weeks. I mean, Toledo the week prior, 21-126, 18-175-2. You know, obviously Texas Tech is an upgrade over Kansas, but not that much of an upgrade. And with that success, I don't see them getting away from it, Chop. So I'm going to endorse Warren here this week. I know you weren't sold on him a week ago, and you talked about, are we chasing? I don't think it matters here. I think this is a good enough matchup against Texas Tech. Maybe they'll be from behind here, but maybe not. You know, I think that Warren, I think he's a play this week, 6,300.
You know, I he's in play. I'll be using him in a couple spots, but yeah, I'd be curious to see if they do get behind, which I think they will. Is he going to be, how big of a part of the passing game is he? Because if he's a part of the passing game, then clearly he's the best offensive player they got. So if he's a part of that passing game, he's going to be a great play. If he's not, like if we – I haven't watched any Iowa State games, man. So, like, if he's not a part of that package and they're down by 3 or 4 touchdowns at halftime, it could be a long day for you. But, yeah, if he's in there – but he is their best offensive player. So, he definitely deserves some recognition there on some rosters at on some level. I like him on DraftKings even more. It's comparable salary, but over there I just find to be you get about a 6K running back over there. It does me more good than a 6K running back on FanDuel. I don't know. It's just I can make rosters over here a little bit easier on FanDuel without using that guy.
There's a lot of cheap guys on FanDuel here when you get into the 5K range. Jordan Canzari, I don't know what this guy has to do to get a price bump here. 26 for 125, 22 for 115. Scored 2 touchdowns the game prior to that, 24 for 124. LaShawn Daniels looked like he might be a player that first week, but then got hurt, and Kanzari's been running away with it, man. 5,800, I think he's an awesome play against Illinois.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. Daniels was looking good there for a while. Twisted an ankle, and that's it. Boom, job went bye-bye, man. You know, like, that's what happens sometimes, but Kanzari is, like, I wrote him up this week. He's a starter. He's a stud. He gets carries, and he's only 5,800. There's not a whole lot more you can ask for, you know, for value than that kind of a situation. So, now Illinois is – they're not as bad as they were the last couple of years on defense. They're actually pretty decent on defense, but clearly this guy's – they're going to feed him because their offense is vanilla, and that's what they do. They run and pass it on third down when they have to, so – he's in pretty good shape there at 5,800. I definitely don't mind him. And then if we want to go if you want to go really kind of risky and even lower than that, the one guy I was talking about in the Baylor scheme that may be a little bit of a sleeper is Johnny Jefferson. If you're thinking that, I mean, like, it's a 45-point spread.
Yeah.
Like, and what they've been doing is running Jefferson anyway, right behind. Well, Chafin's been hurt. You know, I'm definitely not looking for Chafin to come back from an injury in a 45-point spread. I don't think that's very smart on their part. And I don't think – if they weren't going to bring him back against Texas Tech, I think they let him sit out again anyway. So, Jefferson, that makes him the number two guy behind Linwood. Then plus, that's the first guy who gets the carries when Linwood goes out for the game because it's a 30-point game at halftime. So you could get him about 18 carries in this game maybe. And if he does against a weak Kansas team, yeah, he's going to pay off that $5,600 pretty good.
Yeah, I don't mind him. Barkley for Penn State, he's a little banged up. But if he would be, you know, the starter ready to go, if there's really a good indication, he's a nice young back. And a date versus Indiana doesn't get much better than that. I mean, against Rutgers, 21 for 195, and against Buffalo, 12 for 115. Scored touchdowns in those games, and, you know, also had a receiving touchdown against San Diego State. And let's face it, you know, that coach out there, he wants to run the football. You know, even though he's got Hackenberg, he likes to run the football. So Barkley, if he's cleared and declared the starter, not the worst play out there. And I'm not chasing Patrick Scove once again. I think we're done with that, aren't we?
Yeah, this is not only – well, the matchups are too tough now. They were good. They were good earlier in the season. And he's actually getting a decent amount of carries, but I'm not messing with Clemson. I mean, you saw how they bottled up Procise last week. The only reason Procise got anything was on a passing play. They couldn't run. If Notre Dame's offensive line and Procise can't move Clemson, now Scove.
That weather sucked last week, though, too.
But still running the ball, you know. Jeez, you ought to be able to run the ball in bad weather. Clemson's tough. All year long, they've been really good. I mean, by all the rankings I see, they're like a top five run defense. By all the, you know, yards per carry, their yard, you know, all of it is really good. And so, you don't want to chase it, man. I mean, clearly there's always a chance that a triple option team is going to get a couple rushing touchdowns. But you don't want to – there's too much. We've already mentioned like three guys who are really close in price range.
Let's move to wide receivers, and, man, there's some good plays here this week. I mean, for as bad as tight end is, wideouts really, really good. Corey Coleman, 79, averaging 40 fantasy points a game. That is just ridiculous at that wideout position. I think he'll probably score two touchdowns, might get you 100 yards. But he or Roger Lewis, you know, that's a tough decision to make over there on DraftKings this week. Over on FanDuel, it's 86 or 82. That $400 difference can definitely make a difference there. Lewis is in a much more competitive game. I think he probably gets my edge. I mean, he's just been pretty much awesome all season long outside of that one game versus Purdue.
Yeah, he gets the edge just like Johnson gets the edge over Russell. He gets the edge over Coleman just for competitiveness. But that's not to say that Coleman's not going to get his 100 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter, because that's probably what he's going to do. You're just hoping that Lewis gets that, but then also gets an extra couple of quarters to play on top of that. So they're both great, man. If I don't know how you would fit them both in, but you could make a killer lineup with just three receivers if you wanted to spend all your money at receiver. There's some studs this week.
Yeah, on DraftKings too, man, we've got Will Fuller at 6,500. He's your plug-and-play cash game, right? I mean, he's got to be.
They're begging you to play him. But then the sad part is, though, you know, I don't know. I built some teams, and I haven't been able to squeeze in, like, four of these guys in that range and still have a good quarterback and running back running for me, but there's like about a half a dozen guys in this range over here on DraftKings. How do you pick them apart?
Yeah, let's just go through them real quick. Sterling Shepard, yes, all day long against Texas.
Yeah. Yes.
Tyler Boyd, who is just an absolute stud, lock and load. Virginia hasn't been able to defend the pass all year long. Taywan Taylor has been that number one wide receiver for them. Then you got the two guys from Baylor and Lee and Cannon. It's crazy. And you didn't even throw in Artavis Scott, who I think is going to have a breakout game sooner rather than later.
You're missing. I mean,
who'd I miss?
Well, there's Dangerfield. He's getting a lot of work now for Western Kentucky. Artavis Scott, Jakeem Grant. There's even
Farrell Cooper.
See, I'm not messing with that guy this week. I'll pass. But, well, I mean, we haven't even got it.
Let's put it this way. I just want to throw him out there. 9-for-102 against a tough Mizzou team on the road.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what? He's got his quarterback back this week that actually throws the ball a little bit, so maybe that's good for him. There's also a guy out there at 6,800 on Middle Tennessee State. Like, in any other week, I'd be looking at Ed Marquise Bat. I'd be looking at him like, hey, this is a nice sleeper, but you can't even – it's hard to even fathom.
He's got 23 receptions the last 2 weeks.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many – and that's how populated it is in this range that you're even thinking that you can't even play him because there's so many other guys. Listen, if Jakeem Grant is out there with no Lauderdale and no Ian Sadler going up against Iowa State, you know, it could be game planning right now. Cliff Kingsbury, how are we going to get the ball to Grant? Let's get it to him 15 times. There's so much good action out here in this range, and it's going to be you're just going to have to flip some coins here to see who you want to play because they're all really solid. There's nothing bad about any of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's funny because one guy I think is like one of my favorite plays of the week. I don't think I'll have him on DraftKings at all, but I'm going to have him on FanDuel, which is weird because I put him in my locks over there on DraftKings. But maybe I didn't do enough research on all those wide receivers. But Tajay Sharpe, I mean, this guy could be a great play on either side because he's like double-digit receptions locked. What, 11 or more in 3 of his last 4? Gets a defense out there in Bowling Green. They're going to be playing from behind. I mean, the 6,800 on FanDuel, it's really tough not to kind of get behind him there because he's, you know, at least 900 cheaper than Fuller and Shepard, unlike DraftKings where he's like 900 more expensive than those guys. But I think he's one guy who stands out as a very specific FanDuel play, not so much for DraftKings. I feel bad because I put him in my locks.
It's just the way the salaries fall out. It's the way it crumbles. He's a full $1,000 almost higher than some of these other guys that have some fantastic matchups and good salaries. So it's just the way it falls now. You know, plenty of people are going to roster him and he's going to do well. But see, the thing is you like to be able to play five of these guys, but it just doesn't. Rosters and the salaries just don't let you do that.
Come on, use that Texas quarterback.
Yeah, you could. I've tried. Listen, I've done it. I've seen what the rosters look like if you put Hurd and Hackenberg on the same one. But you still can't get Roger Lewis on there with Sharp and Grant and Scott. You know what I mean?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Don't be playing Roger Lewis or Corey Coleman on DraftKings. There's no point to, right?
What's the point? Roger Lewis looks really, really good, man. He's like, that's 15 receptions, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns waiting to happen in this game. He looks
until they throw it to Garrett Dieter.
Yeah,
10 times.
Well, he's clearly the number one. Those other three guys are just.
I know. It's just when there's just so many of those guys who are at least 1,000 cheaper.
Oh yeah,
they're probably not going to reach what he does. But they can probably get to, you know, the expected kind of point per value. I think they'll exceed what he's going to give you. So that's my reason for that. I mean, if you look at Lewis, he's got to give you exactly what you just said, like 10 for 220 and a touchdown or two to be able to kind of ward off all those 6K guys because there's so many of them out there that I don't – and it's – yeah, he should get there, but it's far from a lock to say somebody's going to get that. So – for that reason, I can't play him on DraftKings. But that's another guy you can definitely fit in on FanDuel. I mean, that definitely fits the, you know, hedging possibility between the two sides. So we got to move on, though. Running late on time. Let's go cheaper wide receivers. Again, I think DraftKings, you know, obviously depending on the makeup that you want to go with your team, I don't know if you need to go quite as cheap, but who stands out for you as a value play? I got one guy in particular that I want to talk about, but I want to give the floor to you.
Well, there's some guys down there who are cheap. We mentioned the Texas Tech guys. If the injuries come in, you can play Zach Austin or Tony Brown, but I'm looking down here. There's KJ May against Purdue. I mean, if you want it to go low, these guys all just, they really pale in comparison to just spending an extra 1700 and getting up in that other range. For UMass, Markin Michael, is the number two guy over there. He's got potential. They throw the ball a lot and should be throwing it a lot from behind. I mean, who you got there, man? Give me your 3K crapper.
He's not 3K. He's 4.1. But I am all in on Jordan Villeman this week.
Okay. You're going to have to explain this one to me because I was kind of looking at the game logs. I didn't see it, but I'm dying to hear the explanation.
I'll tell you what it is. And this is one of those situations where making this pick with my eyes for once. It's not just looking at game logs. That last game that he played, I think it was either a late slate or might have been like a Thursday, Friday slate. Because typically I wouldn't have Villeman, but I had him in there. And I think it was a Thursday, Friday, because I think it was in a Playboy queue. And he was one of the early games on Thursday and put me in a good spot because he went absolutely nuts. Seth Collins did not look to anybody else. He was the only receiver that he spied that day. And that was against a pretty good Stanford defense. And I just really like taking number one wide receivers when they're that cheap. And yes, Collins is a guy who's going to tuck it and run a good bit, but this is a game against Arizona where they could be falling behind here, Chop, and they're still probably going to have to pass the ball. So for how cheap he is out there, 4,100 on DraftKings, 5,900 on FanDuel, 14 targets last week. Villman's my guy, man. I'm probably going to ride or die with him. I mean, he's been, last week wasn't like his first 100-yard game he's ever had in his career.
Okay. Well, yeah, I get it. I mean, I've seen both of them do well. Villeman's had his moments at Oregon State, and so has Victor Bolden. So if you're telling me Villeman's the man, then I'll make room for him on my roster now, man.
There we go. I've got you locked in on that. Yeah, Bolden, it's funny because he's a guy – like, I don't watch Oregon State ever, like ever. And sometimes you just get kind of blown away by, like, your expectations of a certain guy. Like, I thought Bolden was going to be, like, this big, honky, 6'2" wide receiver. And he's 5'8", like, 120. Like, he's just a little kind of scat back, kind of PPR-type machine. But yeah, I would have never known that.
Did you just call him a honky?
Big honky? What is it?
Dan, come on, man. We've had enough controversy this week. We don't need the racist Dan Bogg doing Roto.
Okay. Sorry about that, Mr. Bolden. Not what I meant. Big.
No, he's the guy who took Brandon Cook's place. Yeah, he's just a little scat back.
Yeah, man. He's a little scat back. But he's cheap, though, $3,800. So could be a play. All right, let's move on to tight end. This is a game where, Tyler Higbee's not available on FanDuel. When Dan Vitale is your top tight end, that tells you how awful it is. So how are we ranking him this week? It's bad. It's really, really bad.
If I was forced to rank, I'd say Jake Butt, number one. I'd say Mark Andrews, number two. Vitale, number three. And then after that, if those guys don't appeal to you, just completely go $2,000 on anybody that starts and gets, snaps. Because those – really, honestly, what else? You could go Jordan Leggett, but why would you even spend – just give yourself an extra $1,000 and punt the category instead of going with Jordan Leggett or some,
Yeah, I'm trying to find a 2K crapper out there, guys. Follow me on Twitter. If I find one, I'll tweet it out. It's bad. I'll give you the guy, though, that's sneaky good this week is Ethan Wolf for Tennessee, mainly because they have nobody else, They really have nobody else whatsoever to catch the football. Pig Howard is let go. Von Pearson's been – I don't even know if he's on the team. And then you've got Marquez North, who's hurt. They've got nobody to catch that ball, and he's the one guy who, at least has some sort of track record. But there's two Wolves. Make sure you get the right one. It's Ethan Wolf is the one you want. I know, Ethan. Can't get away from that name this week, can we? So
there's another honky.
There's another honky. Gerald Adams, 2,900, maybe?
I'd probably, like I said, he's in that category.
You hate going against LSU. I've learned that today.
That plus I would rather spend that extra $900 or $1,000 and give myself, upgrade from maybe a mid-tier wide receiver to get up to Sterling Shepard or something like that.
Kyle Carter?
I mean, how much is he?
$2,500.
Okay, you're getting down there, but I'd have to look and see if there was anything in the 2K range, because if I'm not the only guy on this slate that even remotely smells of any kind of upside is Jake Butt, because it's a tough game. I don't think they can run. I don't think they'll be able to pass a whole lot. So they'll be looking to their tight end and just, you know, scatter passes to him. That's about the only guy with real upside. Mark Andrews is a one touchdown guy. Vitaly, yikes, you know, he's rough, man. Sometimes he's three catches for 20 yards and he's done, you know, but so there's not really a whole lot there. I don't even know if the guy Rodney Mills from UMass is playing this week, but if he is, he'd be interesting. But he's been injured, so I can't guarantee you that. I'd have to look at the injury report.
All right. Well, let's quickly go to favorite fade. Who are you fading? Who's the guy that you want no piece of? Is Baylor your favorite fade?
They are. And I'll tell you, the one guy is Corey Coleman. And I just don't see, like, the huge four-quarter upside. I just want to – if I'm going to pay top price, the top price for players like Coleman and Russell, I kind of want at least three quarters out of them, if not four quarters. And I'm going to fade them because I think you can get that kind of four-quarter – upside from other guys just below him this week.
Yeah, mine is Leonard Fournette on DraftKings. Can't play him. Can't play him. Too expensive. It's going to come back to haunt me, but I can't play him. Small school kind of surprise guy. Who you got?
Small school. I mean, look at the small schools, man. I tell you what, I don't know if he classifies as a small school and all that stuff, but I mentioned him already. Mark N. Michael from UMass.
He definitely fits the profile.
In this particular game, I think everybody's going to be on sharp, and I understand that he's going to get his 10 passes. But if you look at Mark N. Michael recently, he's been getting just as much as sharp. And I think you're looking at a game where we could get 50 pass attempts. So, you know, he's clearly the number two, and it's really only those two guys. So I don't mind a little Mark N. Michael. I could give you a 3.2K crapper that – may come through, man.
Okay.
But it's injury dependent. If Alex Erickson is out, then I'm not hating on Robert Wilright from Wisconsin at 3.2K. But it's dependent on Alex Erickson not passing concussion protocol and being out. If he's out, Wilright could catch a few passes there for only 3.2K.
Yeah, Nebraska, they're the worst versus the pass in football. I think STL tweeted that out earlier today. They suck.
Another honky.
All the honkies here today. All right. That's pretty much going to wrap us up for today. We thank you so much for checking us out here on Grinders Live After Dark, College Football After Dark. He, of course, is head chopper on Dan Bach. You can find his columns, his videos right here. The Chopping Block. Have to check out who's. Do you remember whose lineup you chopped this week?
Oh, the name is slipping my mind.
Okay. Well, if you definitely can submit your lineups to the Chopping Block, I love that.
Please do, man. Listen, when those salaries are released on Tuesday in the college football, and then on Monday in NFL, please, man, email me chop@rotogrinders.com. I like to get a head start on this. If you're the first one in, I can guarantee you're going to be up on the program, because I like to knock that stuff out nice and early in the week. So email me.
I'm going to send my lineup in one of these days just so you can chop it up for me.
I'll chop it up. We'll make it a GPP special, because that's what I like to do, man. I like to play tournaments.
There you go. Great stuff happening here on rotogrinders.com. Saturday morning, check out STL Cardinals and EMAC. They'll be talking more college football leading up to kickoff in the AM. And till next week, good luck in your games. Qualify for a live final. Do it. I want to do it myself. Let's make sure nobody's hurt this week. That's my goal. But till next week.
Go Astros.
Go forever chop. I'm Bach saying good night. We'll see you here from rotogrinders.com.